lost you. I didn't know you were back here.
Good morning. It is a great pleasure to be with you again. We love this little, we love this congregation here, and we thank you so very much for your support of my training to become a gospel preacher. We thank you so very much for that. Today, the topic of the lesson today is world evangelism. When you think of world evangelism, you think of going across seas and preaching the gospel. You think of missionaries going to Asia, to Africa, to Cambodia, and to different places in the world. But I want to define this topic a little bit better today. World evangelism is anybody that is outside of the church, that is outside of these doors, that is not gathered with us here today. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25 is where we're going to start this lesson today. And then we're going to branch out into a whole bunch of different verses today, and we're going to look at a whole bunch of different topics. The who of world evangelism, the what of world evangelism, the why of world evangelism, the where of world evangelism, and the when of world evangelism. But to start this lesson today, to get us started with the definition that I gave you today of world evangelism, that is anybody outside of these doors, we have a command from our God given by the writer of Hebrews to assemble and meet as the Lord's church. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. One of the purposes that we're here in these doors today is to consider one another, to provoke one another, to love one another. To love one another. And how do we love one another? By keeping God's commandments, John 14, 15 and verse 14. We love each other by provoking each other to keep the commandments of God, and we do that by assembling here as the Lord's church. That's one way that we do this. But continuing here in verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." There is a day that is approaching. There is a day that is approaching. The day of judgment is coming. And will we be found serving our God? Will we be found assembling with the Lord's church every opportunity that we get to assemble? Will we be found bringing more people into the Lord's church to assemble here in this place with us because we love them? You know, John 3 and verse 16, a well-quoted passage, one that is known by most of the world today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if we are going to do this, if we are going to realize this, what this is really saying to us, that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, then we're going to go out into the world and we're going to seek and save, and we're going to look for each and every soul that is not here today, not present with us, not accounted for here, so that we can teach them the truth. So that we can teach them in love to love the God that sent his son to die for us. That's why we're here. That's why we assemble, to remember that great day. To remember the life that was lived 2,000 years ago. We take of the Lord's Supper to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we want everybody in the world to remember it, and to remember it correctly. Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right unto man, but the way there is the ways of death. You see, the world does not know God. The world cannot know God because God is here in his church. And if you are not a part of his church, then you do not know God. The only way that we know God is through his word and the study of his word and assembling with his church. And knowing the love of God. Well, today that's what we're going to look at. World evangelism. Everybody outside these doors that does not assemble here together with us as the Lord's church or with the Lord's church somewhere is in need of the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We have the power of salvation within our hands. We have the power of God's word. We would be very cruel to this world to keep it within ourselves. It would be sin for us to keep the word of God to ourselves. We have to spread the word of God. We have to take it to the people. So, hence the first question, the who of world evangelism. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter. And this is a passage that is well known to us all. But let's read it one more time. Let's start in verse 18. Verse 18 of Matthew, the 28th chapter. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Notice, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus says. How do we tap into that power? We tap into that power by the study of His word. We tap into that power by sharing His word with the world. And in verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, twice here. The first time in Matthew, the 19th chapter, it says go. And then in Matthew, the 20th chapter, it says teaching. We are to go teaching God's word. Now, who are we to go to? The whole world. If we have friends that do not know the love of God, if we have friends that do not know the gospel, we go to them. If we have family that is not in the church, especially family that lives right here in town with us, we go to them and we teach them the word of God. We plead with them. We reason with them, as Isaiah said. And we show them the truth. We go to the world. We go to the denominations out there, because the denominations are in the worst condition of all. They think they're saved. They think they're saved. But they do not know God nor the power of His word, because they're not. Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." If we have friends that are not listening to the word of God, then they are in dire need of His word. And we do not have the right to exclude anybody. There is nobody in this world that is too far gone for God's word. And we do not have the right to say, this person's too far gone, or this person's too far gone. Look at the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, murderer. He stood and held the coats of Stephen, held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen as they stoned him. He took part in the martyr of Stephen. He drug Christians out of their house and drug them to jail. He murdered Christians. He beat Christians. But yet, when presented with the truth, who would have thought that this murderer, this person that hated Christianity so much, who thought he was doing the Lord's will, he thought he was doing God's will, would turn from his way when presented with the truth, the power that is in the word of God. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You see, the word of God is much more powerful than we give it credit for most often. In Acts, the second chapter, it pricked them to the heart. In the conversion stories throughout the book of Acts, in Acts the 8th chapter, there's so many conversion stories we can look at that it pricked them to the heart. It will prick people to the heart if we allow it to. but we have to preach it. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The who of world evangelism. God's not willing that any should perish. So who are we to go to? Everybody. Every single person that's out there that does not know God has a right to know God, because God is not willing that any should perish. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 30, it says, "Truly these times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So who should we go to? We should go everywhere. Commands all men. Notice the little word there. Two letters, or three letters, A-L-L, all. It is all-inclusive. It goes out forth to everybody. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." In 1 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 15, it says, "Be ye ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." Notice the wording there. Who are we to go to? Every man. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. In Colossians the 4th chapter and verse 6, Colossians the 4th chapter and verse 6, the Bible reads, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each man." So who are we to go to? Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Each man, that you may know how you ought to answer each man." There is not a single person, not a single one that is in the world that does not have God, that God does not want the gospel to go to. Everybody has a right to hear the gospel. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear unless there be a preacher?" Romans 10 and verse 14. The importance of each one of us taking the gospel to the world. Romans 1 and verse 16 again says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God to salvation." To who? Who is the gospel, the power of God unto salvation? To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice who is included in Jew and Greek. We're either a Jew or we're a Greek. There's nobody else. So the word of God is the power of God unto everyone. To salvation. To salvation. Turn with me to Mark the 13th chapter and let's read verse 10. Mark the 13th chapter and verse 10. Notice what the gospel writer here tells us. "And the gospel must be first published among all nations." Again, we find this little word, all. The gospel is to go to all nations. I think all nations includes the United States. We have so many people in the United States that don't have God. I am not against going to other countries and preaching the gospel. They need it as much as we do. It is a great work to go to other countries and to preach the gospels in other countries. But we have an important mission field right here, and it's called Palestine, Texas. It is the most important mission field in the world to us. It is our home. It is your home. It's where you live. And your town will be affected by you. Your town will be affected by you. When I get done preaching here, I'll go home back to Bedford. And I will hope and I'll pray that the Lord's church gets out and gets active here, but I'll be 150 miles away. See, we have to depend on each other to preach the gospel to the whole world. Not a single one of us can do that task by ourselves. There's not a single one of us, no matter how well we know the gospel, or no matter how well we can teach the gospel, that can teach the gospel to everybody in the world by ourselves, no matter what. But you see the power that's in this room? We have, what, probably 120 people here? The power that would be forth if each and every member of this church taught people as they went in the world? If every time you got the opportunity, you said, "Do you know our God? If not, let me show him to you." How many we would convert? The Bible says the word is powerful. Yeah, I realize that the world doesn't want to know the truth. And in back in the Noah's time, only 8 people were saved. But you realize if Noah would not have preached, he would not have saved his family. He had to be a preacher of righteousness in order to save his family. So if we only save our own family, it's important. But we need to go into all the world. We have a song, "The Gospel is for All." Do we believe it? Do we truly believe that the gospel is for all? Number 2, the what of world evangelism. What are we to preach? After we go into the world, what are we to preach to the world? Well, I think it's pretty conclusive that we're to preach the word of God. But how much of the word of God are we to preach to them? In Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 27, Paul makes a statement. He says, "I am pure of the blood of all men, for I did not shun to preach to you the entire counsel of God." And if you flip back to the Old Testament, you find out what this means. Turn with me back to Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, and let's look at Ezekiel 3, verse 17 and following for just one moment. Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and following. Ezekiel, being told by God, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand." What'd you say there, God? God said, "Ezekiel, if you don't go into the world and warn the people that they're sinning, I'm going to require their blood at your hand." And that's what Paul was talking about in Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 26, where he said, "I am pure from the blood of all men, for I shun not to preach the entire counsel of God." See how important it is that we preach not just a part of God's word, not just a little bit of God's word. The word denomination is wrong in and of itself. For if we break the word denomination down, what does the word denomination mean? If you take a dollar bill and you have 4 quarters, you have 4 denominations of a dollar. The word denomination in its essence means part of a whole. Each denomination claims that they have part of the truth. Well, Paul says that is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Paul said, "I am pure of the blood of all men." Why? Because I shun not to preach the entire counsel of God to you. Who? The what of world evangelism? The entire counsel of God. This was true back in Moses' time. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verse 3. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Does this sound familiar? Jesus said this in Matthew, the 4th chapter, when dealing with the devil, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what are we to teach? What are we to study? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Paul was an apostle. And he, time and time again, said, no one has the right to change the word of God. And in Galatians, he said, not an angel, not myself, not anybody has the right to change the word of God. In Galatians, the 1st chapter and verse 6, if you would, look with me there. Galatians, the 1st chapter and verse 6. Paul says something. Notice what Paul says. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." You see, as we preach, as we teach, we must be like Paul. and preach the entire council. You see, some at Galatia were not teaching the entire council. They were removing themselves from part of the counsel of God. And Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. But he said, it's not another gospel. There is no other gospel. You're just teaching lies. If you're not teaching what God's word says, if you're not teaching from God's word, you're teaching lies. There's no other way around it. Now, the why of world evangelism. Why should we preach the word of God? The number one reason, the number one answer is because God commanded it. The number one answer to why we should preach God's word, why we should be evangelistic, is because God commanded it. We've already read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And we also know that that's repeated in Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. Now, there's another reason. Because God loves his enemies. Why should we preach? Because God loves his enemies, and he commands us to love our enemies as well. But in Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 8, Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 8, the Bible reads, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why should we preach? Because Christ died for us. Because Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. Remember John 3 and verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why should we preach? Because God loves us. And because we want to obey God. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and verse 14, I call you my friends because you do whatsoever I command you. Why should we preach the word of God? Because we should love our enemies, Matthew 5 and verse 44. Why should we preach the word of God? Because we should love our neighbors, Mark 12 and verse 31 and Luke 10 and verse 29 through 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Why should we preach the word of God? Because Jesus came to serve, Mark 10 and verse 45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Why should we preach the word of God? Because we should be like God. We should be like God. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Paul says, follow after me as I follow after Christ. Why should we preach the word of God? Because they are lost and doomed without the message. The world is lost and doomed without the message. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 14 says, how can they hear unless there be a preacher? And 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we do not preach, if we do not teach, the world is lost. Why should we teach the word of God? Because of the urgency. Because of the urgency. Turn with me to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 2. For he said, I heard thee in the time and accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We might not have another day. We might not have till the end of this sermon. We might not have another breath. Why should we preach the word of God? Because of the urgency that is there. Life is like a vapor, according to James. We don't know when this life is going to be over. Now, the where of world evangelism. Where are we to preach? Again, we have to go back to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go to all nations. We don't have a right to leave a single one out, not even our own. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 9 through 22, Paul became all things to all men that he might save some. We have a responsibility, as long as it's not sin, to become all things to all men so that we might save some. Where are we to go? The disciples of the Lord went everywhere preaching the gospel. In Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 20. Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You see, the disciples of the Lord went everywhere. Where are we to go? Everywhere. Now finally, the win of world evangelism. The win is now. Now is the day of salvation. People in the world, you might be their only chance. You might be their only chance. They might bump into you and then die in a car wreck, in an accident. What if you didn't teach them the Word of God when you had the chance to do so? What if you were the only chance that they had to hear the Word of God and you let them go by? What's God going to say to us? Why be so urgent, you might ask? We could die. Remember James 4? Life is like a vapor. We could die. Why be so urgent? The Lord could return. Remember, no one knows the hour. Not even the Son knew the hour in which he would return, but the Father only, according to Matthew 24 and verse 36. Why be so urgent? Because the harvest is plentiful. There is plenty of work to be done. Why be so urgent? Because the Lord does not want any to perish. Remember 2 Peter 3 and verse 9? We have a little bit of time on this earth to do as much good as we can. The win is also as we go in the world. When should we preach? As we go. Matthew 10 and verse 7. Matthew 10 and verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Now we realize that the kingdom of God has already come, and that this was the limited commission given to the disciples. But it still applies to us today. When should we preach the gospel? Matthew 10 and verse 7 says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So, as we conclude this lesson today, who should we go to? We should go to everyone. What should we teach? The entire Word of God. Why should we teach it? There are a number of different reasons why we should teach it, as we went through and listed, but because God commanded is the most important. Where should we teach it? Everywhere. Everywhere that we are, as we go in this life, as we walk about, we should teach the gospel. The win of world evangelism, now, right this very instant, or as soon as we leave, if we have the opportunity to teach somebody, because today is the day of salvation. And I want to extend an invitation to anyone out there that has not obeyed the gospel, because today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says that you must first hear the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe the word of God. Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must hear the word of God. You must believe it. You must repent. Luke the 13th chapter and verse 3 and verse 5 says, I tell you nay, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then you must confess that he is the Son of God. In Matthew the 10th chapter, verses 30 and 32 through 32, it says, I tell you, unless you confess that I am I, you will burn in your sins. In Matthew we find, unless you confess that I am I, you will burn in your sins. So we find that you must hear, you must believe, you must repent, you must confess, and then there's one last step that you must take. You must be baptized for the remission of sins. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it says, "The like figure went to baptism doth not also save, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God." You see, if you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, but you refuse to be baptized, you still are lacking one command that God said. And remember what he told the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "That I have done from my youth." Jesus said, "Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." And the young rich man went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because of that one thing that he would not do. He would not let go of his earthly riches to follow Jesus. There was just one thing in his life that he lacked. But he went away sorrowful and was not saved, as far as we know, because he refused to do one thing. You see, the world will tell you that baptism is not necessary, but the Bible says it is. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." If this is you, if you're in the audience today but you refuse to be baptized, you're like the young rich ruler that went away with that one thing sorrowful. If you're in the congregation and you have been baptized but you've wandered away, today is the day of salvation for you as well. Come back to your home and let us receive you back as a child of God. Come now as we sing the song of invitation.